Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members. Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Toscalito Tire and Automotive, your one-stop, on-the-spot auto service headquarters in San Francisco and the North Bay. Terzo, an authentic, upscale European restaurant in the Cal Hollow neighborhood in San Francisco. And Rose's Cafe, a favorite local hangout also in Cal Hollow. Now here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' 89-75 loss in San Antonio. But first, we want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Ray, the Warriors lose in San Antonio, which is unusual. The Warriors had won, what, 8 in a row against the Spurs? And the Spurs had more healthy players than the Warriors. The Warriors playing without Steph Curry, without Klay Thompson. Kevin Durant is out now, and even Draymond Green didn't play a lot because he got hurt, hit in the pelvis, and fortunately the x-rays were negative there. I'm not sure how long he's going to be out, but it's a lot of backups playing right now for Golden State, and they're trying to hang in there. I mean, even when they beat the Phoenix Suns, that's kind of a big victory just to come back in that one from down when you have backup players getting all the playing time here. So what do you think about the way these players are showing right now, and with only 11 games to go, how meaningful it is for the Warriors to get those guys going?
Well, I think it's meaningful for a couple of guys, Joe. Let's start with Quinn Cook. I mean, how well he's played
in
the last three games. And, you know, he's starting to – this guy's a player. The guy can hit the mid-range jumper as well as the three-point shot. He can handle the ball. I don't know long-term how he's going to be defensively, but, hey, Nick Young is no great shakes defensively, and he's not reliable. I mean, he can go off one game, but he can shoot you out of a game the next time. He can have some awful showings, and San Antonio was one of those awful showings. Other times he can be as hot as any player in the league, but we knew that about him coming in, that he'd be streaky, that's kind of the way he is. But when you're going to the postseason, trying to figure out your rotation, is that a guy you can count on? Seriously, and I tweeted this out, I almost trust Quinn Cook now more than a guy like Nick Young, as experienced as he is. Now, he can't go thermonuclear like Nick Young can. But again, if you're looking for some, the coach is looking for the players he can trust. And all I can say is that Quinn Cook is making a serious bid for the roster. I don't know if they're going to find a spot for him. It could mean dropping somebody like Omri Caspi, who, is he going to play in the postseason? Is Quinn Cook going to play in the postseason? If everybody's healthy, probably not, unless it's mop-up time. But, you know, just as far as making a serious bid, at least making the coaches think about it, you like what Quinn Cook has brought to the table. And he put up huge numbers. I know it's the G League, but he still did very well and was very efficient. So that's a guy that stands out to me right now. I think it's also good for Sean Livingston. He's starting to get some more rhythm in his jump shot once again, and they're definitely going to need him in the postseason for the minutes that Curry is down. They ended up with no All-Stars in that game against San Antonio. The only All-Star on the floor was LaMarcus Aldridge, and so predictably the Spurs had more in the tank down the stretch. But those are two guys in particular I'm thinking about the postseason, are Livingston and Cook, and how they figure out the guard rotation. And maybe Cook is the kind of player they've been looking for, you know, as another backup to Steph Curry that they can throw in there for a couple of minutes maybe. I don't know if that happens, in the conference championships or the finals, but maybe in the earlier rounds and see how he does. I think he's made the most of his opportunity.
Let's hear what Quinn Cook had to say after the game in San Antonio about his opportunity and his playing time.
I mean, I'm playing 37 minutes, 40 minutes, so obviously, you know, more time out there, you get to, you know, show more. So, guys going down. Myself, Nick, it's been a long couple days for us, but I think we're learning, we're competing. Every game's coming down, you know, to a couple possessions here And, you know, obviously the Spurs are who they are for a reason, and you know, they made plays at the end of the game.
Well, you really have to like the confidence that he's playing with now, because I think when he first came to the Warriors, he was just getting his feet wet. He wasn't getting consistent playing time. Even when he did, you know, he's filling in for Steph Curry. He had to be a little nervous. I don't know that he ever said that, but you could just tell he was tentative. But these last three games, he's not as tentative. He definitely found his rhythm in that Phoenix game. You know, he scored well also in the previous game against Sacramento, but, you know, leading the team and scoring with 20 points on the road against the Spurs, just looks like a guy who now is confident to shoot the ball. Yeah, he missed some threes, but he wasn't afraid to keep shooting the ball and distributing. And, you know, I like the way he handles the ball, and he's quick, and he's smart, and I love his enthusiasm. I mean, when he made one of those threes, or a couple of them, when he got a little hot there, you know, he had that big smile on his face, and everybody's rooting for him. It's really been fun. No matter whether or not he's on the roster at the end, it almost doesn't matter to me right now. I'm just enjoying seeing him and knowing that he could be part of the Warriors in the future.
Well, yeah, that's to be determined the offseason. I mean, he's going to have some offers if he continues to play this well, and I think he will be a player in this league. But he gets the bench going too, doesn't he? He's having some success. I saw that definitely the other night in the Phoenix game. But, yeah, you know, in the long run, like I said, is he going to play in the postseason even if he's on the roster? Probably not very much at all. But he's a great little story here down the stretch, and that's what you want to see, somebody taking advantage of the opportunity. And he is gaining confidence as he gains minutes, and he is a good three-point shooter. I think that'll be proven out over time. And, you know, imagine what he could do with more of the Warriors' star power around him. Maybe that's something Steve Kerr wants to look at down the stretch as they get a little healthier. And, you know, Steph Curry may be coming back at the end of the week, and then Klay Thompson, then eventually Kevin Durant in a couple of weeks, and see what happens when he's surrounded by those guys as well as Draymond Green. Draymond, you know, I heard this post game after the San Antonio loss. You know, it was started out to being a midsection issue, then they said pelvic contusion. He got kicked in the nether regions.
Ooh, I didn't see that yet. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. And there's a contusion. I mean, it really hurt. And, you know, he after the interview post game, he was asking reporters why they didn't ask him about getting kicked by Danny Green. And he said, you know, if it was me, you would have said I did it on purpose. You know, the whole league gives him that rep. And I'm sure a lot of people are saying, okay, well, karma, there you go. But, they were not happy about that, I can tell you that. And Draymond almost got his 16th technical, but he walked off, and then he walked in the locker room. X-ray's negative, so it sounds like it's a short-term thing, and he just needs a few days to heal, and there's probably going to be some ice involved. And take it easy. You want to make sure that 100% of him is ready down the stretch.
Yeah, well, let's actually hear what Draymond Green had to say after the game about the seriousness of this injury.
I still don't think it's anything serious. It just never really settled down. You know, usually you hit, low it, kind of settles down over the course of, you know, a couple minutes or whatnot. It just didn't start settling down, so. It's all good, Dob.
We'll continue our Warriors conversation after this from Toscalito Tire and Automotive.
You have to admit, collecting NBA titles is a new trend for the Warriors, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971. With quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at 6 Bay Area locations near you, Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family. After all, this is a family business started by two nice Italian boys, Ken Toscanini and Vince Ippolito, who combine their skills, knowledge, passion for cars, and their names to create Toscalito Tire and Automotive. With four Marin locations, plus the marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
We're talking here right after the Warriors lost to the San Antonio Spurs. Now, they beat Phoenix in the previous game. Let's hear what Steve Kerr had to say after that game, you know, going into the San Antonio game, talking about the rotation now. When you have, you know, players like Quinn Cook and Nick Young starting, and it's all jumbled up with the injuries, here's what Steve Kerr had to say about that.
I think the biggest thing that we've tried to impart on our group is stay ready, and there's going to be a lot of different combinations that maybe we haven't played with before. I'm sure we had combinations on the floor in Phoenix that have not seen the light of day all season long. So guys just have to be ready for that. And you know, when you're out there with an unfamiliar group, it comes down to execution and playing hard and being focused and not making mistakes, just being solid. And if you stay in the game that way, then you always have a chance. And I thought that's what happened the other night. You know, we ended up scoring 124 points without our top three scorers. It's because we moved the ball. We had our best passing game of the year. The ball was moving. Guys were screening. Great energy. It's a really fun game for us.
Yeah, that was a fun game. But then, as Steve Kerr was talking there at the shoot-around, then in San Antonio, the Warriors go out and score 75. They were brutal in the fourth quarter. What, they have 12 points? And I mean, it's the lowest scoring output for them all year. So, I mean, credit San Antonio's defense a little bit. But the Warriors, they didn't move the ball the same way they did in that Phoenix game. And it just got stagnant, it seemed, there in the fourth quarter.
Well, it's always tough to score on the Spurs in their building. It's been that way for years. And when you don't have, you know, your top four players, your all-stars, it makes it even tougher. When you don't have the top three scorers, where do you go to find the offense? And that was a struggle for them tonight. Early on, Livingston gave them something. And like I said, Cook, in the third quarter, was pretty good. But, yeah, when it came down to crunch time and the Spurs really put the claws around them, there was nothing to be had. I mean, you're not going to get consistent offense from David West right now. I mean, he's just coming back from that cyst on his elbow, and you know, Quinn Cook is still finding his way, and it was a struggle for him down the stretch. Nick Young was just out of it tonight. Like I said, he's there, and sometimes he's on fire. Where else is going to come from? Andre Iguodala? Not necessarily. That's really not his role. So you know, when you're shorthanded like this, that's kind of predictable that they only put up 75. I think that's their lowest total for points in 5 years.
Wow. And Patrick McCaw, he's rusty. You know, he's coming back.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And you know, I don't think you're ever going to see Jordan Bell really take outside shots. Sometimes when you have Bell out there and Pachulia, that's two out of five players that are really not going to shoot the ball. You know, they're just not going to, from at least from, you know, past 10 feet out.
Well, yeah, that shows you when you have a lineup with both those guys in, it's problematic for your offense. You know, unless you got Durant, Clay, and Curry on the court, and if you don't have those guys, yeah, it's going to be a real issue for you. So I think it's just they're just trying to claw through it right now. They understand that the top seed is wrapped up pretty much. They're not going to catch Houston, not in their present state. So they've got the two seed well in hand. Although Portland has been playing incredible basketball the last few weeks. There's too much of a gap there. So what it comes down to now is who's going to be the seventh seed, and we don't know that. I mean, there's we talked about this last week. It's just such a jumble that it's one of several potential first-round foes. I can tell you this, it ain't going to be easy in the first round. I don't think it's going to be a walkover like we've seen in the past. They're going to have their guys ready to go, and like we said before, make sure that guys like Steph and Durant and Clay get some games under their belt before the postseason. And, you know, for Durant, sounds like maybe April 1st against the Suns. Maybe he gets in a few games. You know, hopefully that happens. They're going to need it to happen.
More Dubs OT right after this.
If you're looking for a great place to stop by for a bite to eat in San Francisco, Rose's Cafe is the place to go. A favorite in the Cow Hollow neighborhood for the past 20 years, Rose's Cafe is a hangout for locals who bask in the sun at sidewalk tables, duck inside for a cappuccino, or stay for a leisurely lunch or dinner. Many customers are regulars who frequent their pretty bistro cafe that offers table service and deliciously consistent food, Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Rose's artisan bakers bake a daily selection of pastries, desserts, and breads. Menu highlights include pizzas, daily soups, and house-made pastas. A robust beer and wine list with many by-the-glass options are available. So stop by Rose's Cafe at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
Well, there are several teams, I think, that the Warriors should be, you know, fearing a bit, because these teams have played well against the Warriors. And we'll start with the Spurs, because they just won this game on Monday night. And I think LaMarcus Aldridge can be a force. I mean, you know, they need to have, of course, they need to have other players that are going to show up. And, you know, they really wish that they had everybody healthy. But Aldridge scores 33, and he was powerful. I mean, at times it's just unstoppable with him down low, and he had 12 rebounds in the game as well. He's just strong and a tough guy to deal with.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's where, you know, Draymond leaves, and LaMarcus is like, it's time to eat, you know. 33 and 12 he ends up with. And, I mean, yeah, you get Draymond in there, and he's been very good about defending LaMarcus. I mean, who's going to have his good game no matter what? He's an all-star level player, but Draymond's been effective from time to time against him in the past, and one of the things he does really well is, you know, LaMarcus likes to get on that low block, likes to get that position. Draymond's pretty good about getting him a foot or two out from where LaMarcus wants to be to where the shot is not as comfortable. So, you know, if that's a playoff matchup and Draymond's healthy, I think you'll see a different outcome. There will be a couple of games where LaMarcus will do well, but I think, you know, the big question for the Spurs is Kawhi Leonard. When he comes back, when his doctors and the Spurs doctors agree, and when he's 100%.
Yeah, that'll make a huge difference for them. And who knows where they're going to be seated, because as you said, there are all these teams that are bunched up, and there are definitely some teams the Warriors should fear, like I mentioned, because, I mean, they've been beaten by Portland, and Oklahoma City handled them pretty well, and Minnesota's a tough team. And, you know, all these teams that they could face in the first, second round, it's not a cakewalk. Maybe at the beginning of the year you thought, you know, they should be able to get to the Western Conference Finals and no problem. I think it's going to be tough. It's not like last year where they went 16-1 in the postseason. I'm not saying they can't do it, but I just think that, you know, each one of these series could be a lot more difficult than last season.
And that's an issue, because if it's a harder road, you know, what kind of shape are they in if they make the Western Conference Finals or the NBA Finals? You know, just with all the injuries they've had this year, and I'll have to go back and check. I was going to do that before we went on here, but, you know, what team has had the most injuries in the NBA this year? I'd have to think the Warriors are up there as far as the star players, the players you count on. They've had, you know, guys in and out of the lineup all year. You know, it hasn't prevented them from playing very well when they get together, but you definitely want to have these guys. You want the band together for a few games and getting in some kind of rhythm before they start this long road, and you'll hope that Steph Curry's ankle stays intact.
Especially now, I mean, when you look at it, Ray, with everybody being hurt at once, because earlier in the season, you know, you had Steph out for a while, you had KD out for a while. Klay is never out, and he's out now. And, you know, you've had Draymond in and out at times, but to have all these guys out at once, I mean, the fortunate thing is that these are not serious injuries. They should all be back come playoff time. And I don't know how much time they need to get back into a rhythm. I don't know about that, but I think that just having everybody back at least a few games before you get to the playoffs, it's going to be meaningful. And I don't know what it means that all of these other teams have gotten so hot at one point or another. I mean, the Rockets were unbeatable there for about a three-week, you know, month period. Portland right now with a 13-game winning streak as we speak. Utah's won 9 in a row. You know, over in the other conference, Toronto, they were just on fire for a while. There's so many teams that got really, really hot. The Warriors never had that kind of a streak. You know, they had good streaks here and there, but not like we've seen with some of these other teams. And I don't know what that means really when you get to the postseason, because, I mean, look, in the NCAA tournament, if you want to compare to that, some of those teams that won their conference championship, they didn't even show up in the NCAA tournament. So it's always a different deal, and especially in the NBA playoffs, as we've talked about, because it's really a different type of game, the way it's played and the way it's officiated.
Yeah, well, the difference in the NBA is if we ever have a 16 seed in the playoff, like they reconfigure the playoffs, it won't be as much of an upset if the 16 beats the 1, like the Retrievers coming
the through. Retrievers were great.
Sister Jean.
Oh, my God. No, that's Loyola Chicago. That's Loyola. Sister Jean, right.
I'm getting my teams mixed up here.
Yeah.
UMBC, Baltimore County Retrievers.
Right.
Getting the win.
They're the Chesapeake Bay Retrievers.
That's right. It's a particular type of retriever. You're absolutely right. But, yeah, Sister Jean is Loyola, and Loyola made it through even though Sister Jean didn't pick the Ramblers in the second round. Think about Loyola as you may know, they have won an NCAA championship. They did so back in 63, I want to say.
It's kind of a long time ago, yeah.
Yeah, that was before John Wooden went on his run, right before that. But, you know, for the NBA, and here's the analogy I'll use. In college basketball right now, it's really wide open, isn't it? There are a lot of teams who could go all the way. You know, it's not as chalky in the tournament this year. In the NBA, I think what's significant is you're seeing several teams who are not buying the aura of the Warriors, right? They've had this aura for a few years of invincibility, and most of the time they've won. But this year, with all the injuries, you know, maybe taken a little bit away. So I think it's up to the Warriors to reestablish that aura. And that's why it's important for them to get back together and show the league, hey, we're ready to go. We're healthy. We're rested, you know, mentally and physically after, you know, kind of a grind of a season that started very early. Right now, there are a few teams that are feeling very confident, I'm sure, and Houston's at the top of the list. And Houston's gunning for them. And Houston, you know, there are a lot of people who are going to pick them. And you know, it's not a crazy pick because they're a more complete team this year. And I really like the addition of defensive-oriented players like P.J. Tucker and Luka Mbamute. I mean, they've been pretty tough. And, you know, they've been rolling through everybody. And, you know, they played the Warriors well. I mean, there were times where the Warriors were shorthanded. That first game of the year, the opener, might have been a stunner to some Warrior fans who felt like the Warriors probably were going to close in down the stretch. They didn't do it. You know, that's a long time ago. But you know, right now, Houston has some confidence. Portland has some confidence. Minnesota has some confidence. That's something that you need going into the postseason. The Warriors, though, they have experience knowing they've done it before and exactly what they need to do to get back to the top.
Dubs OT continues in just a moment.
Are you looking for a great place for dinner? Then you really need to try Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. When you sit down at your table at Terzo, you will feel the warm and welcoming ambiance. They make you feel like you're at home with great service and a delicious meal. Serving dinner only, Terzo offers unique food drawn from the Mediterranean region. They change their menu daily based on the local availability of product. Open 7 days a week, Terzo suggests reservations, but they do have a bar area available for walk-ins. Check out their website at terzosf.com for daily menus and hours. Drop by Terzo at 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco for an exceptional neighborhood dining experience and your private dining needs.
Who do you think are the players on the Warriors that are super-duper important come playoff time? And I'm not just, you know, talk about scoring, because we know Steph Curry is, and Kevin Durant, and even Durant on defense. But I'm thinking more about JaVale McGee right now, what he brings to the table and his shot blocking, and because they're going to need defense big time, you know, the way the game's played in the postseason. And I point to sort of him and Andre Iguodala, who does look pretty fresh at this point in the season. And, of course, Klay Thompson, those three, and you know, and then Draymond Green. It's going to have to be about defense more than it is offense, don't you think?
Well, I think it is because their defense is one of the things that makes them so outstanding, and that's not just for the starters but for the bench. And, you know, they haven't been in that lockdown mode all year. They've had their moments. They've had their streaks when they've been healthy, but that is definitely part of their identity that's, you know, been chipped away at in the last year and a half or so. I think Iguodala is a very, very important guy. This coming up is what they signed him. They re-upped with him for was the postseason, and to be, you know, Finals Andre that we saw last year.
Oh yeah,
you know, I mean, and it comes and goes, but I think, you know, the other part of it is the Hamptons Five has not been as effective this year. The Hamptons Five was the death lineup, you know, last year. That's not happening as much this year. I think injuries have had a little bit to do with that, but that's the guy I'm looking for right there is Iguodala. I mean, he's so key to, you know, making sure that second unit plays with some confidence. And the other guy is David West, because he's been their best center this year, without a doubt. So they need to get him back into the swing of things, and he's not there yet.
Yeah, they did miss him. He's tenacious. I mean, I really like it when he's out there, not just because he shoots at a high percentage and all that, but just his toughness getting rebounds and his attitude. I just think you need everybody out there to have his attitude defensively and, you know, on the glass, to win games. I mean, it's good if you have a bunch of guys like that.
Well, the thing I love about David West is, you know, he's been an all-star. He's scored a bunch of points in this league, but he finally got his ring, and it's really not about the money for him now. He's a lot more of a soul surfer at this point in his career. He's, you know, for the love of the game and for getting another championship ring, that's why he came back. But he's played better this year than he did last year, you know, when he's been healthy. He had kind of a freakish injury that takes a long time to heal that I think was worrisome there for a little bit. So that's another guy that's going to be very important to make sure he gets back into the swing of things. He's leaving his jump shot short right now, so hopefully he's going to get an opportunity to play. He's going to get some minutes here down the stretch with the injuries. That's also a very important guy. Make sure that he's ready to go. And that bench, that start of the second quarter and start of the fourth quarter unit will look a lot better.
All right, Ray, I'm pulling out my bracket. I don't know. Do you have your bracket handy from the college basketball NCAA tournament?
No brackets this year.
You didn't do the bracket?
Turned out to be no brackets this year. I went bracketless. Turned out to be a very smart move.
Well, because I picked Virginia.
The inevitable Virginia. See, it's the inevitable crushing of hopes.
Well, that wasn't smart. But what I guess what I'm doing here is I want to know who you like to get to the Final Four out of these teams that are remaining. Because, you know, you got Kentucky playing Kansas State. This is in the South. Yeah. You got Loyola Chicago against Nevada and former Warriors head coach Eric Musselman. Maybe we just root for him because he's a former Warriors coach and he's been going berserk every time Nevada wins. And, you know, and Colin Kaepernick played there. There's a Bay Area connection all the way.
Well, it's a loose connection, but yes, it's a connection. And I've known people who had their kids go to Nevada, so... there's definitely some Bay Area influence there for sure. You know, Musselman, yeah, he's crazy. He's great for the college game, and I think he might end up getting some offers if they continue their run here. And, you know, I was on CBS the other day where they won their first-round game, and they had him in the locker room. Big mistake. Yeah, it got a little blue. He was working blue there for a while. You know, they're talking to one of the players, might have been one of the twins who – they were asking him what it's like to play for Musselman. He said, "Well, just look at him. I mean, he's crazed out there on the floor." And I, you know, I think for a lot of these coaches in college, they're control freaks, and they've got a job that allows them to be control freaks, and they go a little nuts. That Mick Cronin at Cincinnati, for example, but
they blew a 22-point lead. Wow,
that's right. Now maybe he would be going crazy in that situation, but I think with Musselman, that's just what he is, right? He's just extremely enthusiastic, and I think that plays well for the college kids. And like I said, it's going to be very, very good for his career. I didn't think he did a terrible job with the Warriors. I mean, he didn't have a whole lot to work with at the time. He was okay, and it was a great interview, too. So, yeah, I guess I'll be rooting for Musselman and see if Nevada can get to an Elite Eight game coming up. But, you know, Kentucky... always talented, always so talented, but you never know in a close game how they're going to react. And they've had their pratfalls in the past in those situations, and some think that's a criticism of Calipari. Who else we got left?
Loyola Chicago, that's in the South. I mean, it's interesting because some of those big power teams like North Carolina, Virginia, they're out. Arizona getting beaten by Buffalo in the first round. So, but you still have, like you said, Kentucky. You still got Duke alive and Kansas and Villanova. You know, all those teams are still alive, and you know those are really good teams that everybody knows about, and they could still win it all.
Well, I'd say the team that looks best to me is Villanova. You know, they look like they are primed to go to the championship game, but you know, you have an off night with kids and it's all over. So, but if I had to bet on somebody, I guess that'd be a team I would bet on at this point. But you know, with Kansas too, I mean, the rest of the bunch, you're dealing with kids, and I don't think it's cut and dried this year as it has been in the past. But I guess that would be my call. We'd probably see Villanova in the championship game, and you know, they've got a very good coach who's got a great program going. So, and you know, sartorial splendor on top of that. He looks good on TV, so I'm sure the network's like that. But yeah, that'd be my guess. I mean, you know, with a lot of these tournament games, I end up watching in the second half. Right, I don't watch the entire game. UCLA was out; they flamed out. USC didn't even get invited. Arizona State.
Oh, don't remind me. Oh.
Yeah, I know. I picked a scab there. I can't believe they weren't invited. I can't believe UCLA got invited, and they played like they didn't deserve to be there in the play-out game. They were terrible, and I don't know why Steve Alford is still coach there. And then, I mean, is the Pac-12 still a conference? Do they still exist? Because through the bowl games and the NCAA tournament, nada. Except
nothing.
For, I think, Utah won a bowl game. That's it.
That is amazing. Yeah, I mean, they just had a terrible year in the postseason in both sports. But, I, you know, I like Gonzaga.
Conference of champions, says Bill.
Conference
of champions.
I like Gonzaga and Villanova. I'm with you on Villanova. I think they're going to get there. But, you know, so many dramatic moments. Like you said, Loyola of Chicago and Sister Jean and the UMBC, that was so exciting. And that shot at the end of the Michigan game, man, that was exciting to see.
Goodness.
You know, a three to win it at the buzzer. That was just awesome.
That was pretty much a Hail Mary there. And then, you know, they get that's what you get. Was Gus Johnson doing that game?
No. He's not doing the games anymore for CBS.
I know.
But it should have been his game, right?
Right. That's a Gus kind of game, but I mean, you get that, and I've said this for many years now. The quality of play is not good. It just isn't. I mean, there are bricks aplenty, but the drama is there. It's always there, and the effort is there. I mean, the kids are leaving it on the floor. There are those who think they're indentured servants at this point with all the money the NCAA is making that's, you know, just trickling down to them in various forms. And, you know, we just had an FBI investigation and a scandal, you know, involving several schools, including Arizona. And I have to think that was a huge distraction for them,
mm-hmm.
you know, that cloud over their head. And I think what it points up is the whole system's rotten. That's the bottom line. They've got to find a better way to do this. And I always felt like, well, why can't we just make another NCAA, right? Just invite schools into another organization that's not as hypocritical.
Right.
Maybe someday that'll happen.
That'd be nice, but yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen. But there's always the, you know, the feel good coach to me is Bob McKillop, because you got Davidson in there, and this
yep.
first time in 10 years that they are there, you know, since Steph Curry was there, I believe. Mm-hmm. I think it was the first time in 10 years, or maybe, you know, that was 10 years ago is what I do remember. And he's just a great guy. I mean, and the way he talked about Steph Curry, you know, with it's just such admiration for the way Curry has handled his success, the NBA level, and the way he always talks about Davidson and how he put them on the map. And it's pretty cool to just think about that.
I actually have had a chance to talk to Bob McKillop in the past, covering a couple of Final Fours a few years ago, because, you know, all the coaches are there. And it's much more a casual setting for the guys whose teams are not there, but they're still there on Radio Row and things like that, and they talk to a bunch of people. And, yeah, he couldn't say enough good things about Steph Curry. And, you know, a kid who wasn't getting a lot of offers, right, from D1 schools, but McKillop certainly saw something in him. And as we saw, that was sort of a game that put Davidson back on the map, or a couple of games when they made their run with Steph. And, you know, that was the first time I had seen him, and probably a lot of Warriors fans had seen him. And for a college player, the unbelievable shooting range that he had, and you knew right away that would translate into the NBA. So, yeah, this is going to be great. This is going to be like a Jamal Crawford coming off the bench. And how he has developed into an all-around player, you know, it speaks to some character, some work ethic, and also to some talent. And, you know, it's just about whether the ankles are going to cooperate.
Well, we'll see what happens this week. And the next time we talk next week, it'll be 16 teams down to the Final Four in NCAA basketball in the tournament. So it'll be fun next week to see what happens there, and to the Warriors in their upcoming games against Atlanta. They got 3 days off before that Atlanta game. And then Utah, the Red Hot Jazz, on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then we'll talk after that.
Yeah, it'll be good to finally get down to actually talking playoff seedings. We're getting close, or closer. And we'll see just how much healthier the Warriors are by that time.
All right, Ray, we'll talk to you then. Thanks a lot.
Sounds good, Joe.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.